My next guest is Brian Bailey, a nationally recognized award-winning animal behaviorist, author of books like Embracing the Wild in Your Dog and also The Hammer, Understanding Canine Aggression. Brian, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
The website, by the way, tamingthewild.com. And how did you become an animal behaviorist?
That's a good question. It's been a long time. I grew up in Alaska, studied wolves up there. I've continued to study wolves ever since then. Also worked with marine mammals, studied other social predators such as hyenas, lions, in their natural settings. So it's just like a gift that I have, and I think that we should all use our gifts, and it's something that I really enjoy and I have a great interest in and just pursued it professionally.
You have a dog yourself then?
I have four.
Four dogs? Wow.
Yeah.
And how do you?
I'm just one.
Do you let them sleep on the bed or?
No, we let them sleep in the bedroom, but not on the bed. And the only reason for that is that I'm a very, very light sleeper. But I have no qualms with dogs sleeping on beds or hopping on people's furniture. Mm-hmm.
They don't wake you up when they start barking in the middle of the night or?
Oh, they're pretty quiet. I've taught them to be very discriminate about their barking. So if they do bark now, I do wake up because it's a valid reason. There's something going on.
Yeah. Is there a kind of a general misunderstanding you think people have about dogs and even their own dogs?
Well, as I point out in my book, Embracing the Wild in Your Dog, the biggest problem that we have or that we have created as dog owners here in America is we tend to view our dogs with a perception of a human viewpoint and not from the perception that nature gave our dogs. We kind of anthropomorphize them, meaning we give them human qualities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though that's fun, and I actually do it as well to my own dogs, I've had dogs that wear fancy sunglasses and really neat scarves and have cheeseburgers and a couple pizzas every now and then, but I keep in mind that it's for fun, it's play, and that when it's really real and I need to adjust their behavior, mm-hmm. or I need to answer a question as to why they just did what they did.
So when you talk about we give them these human qualities, what do you think dogs really are? What is their real quality if we weren't to do that?
The real quality is that of a semi, now known as a semi-social predator. They are still wolves at heart. They really are. They're just not as deeply intertwined in the mechanisms that nature gave wolves to survive. Our dogs still have those mechanisms. They just don't use them all the time. They don't need to. For example, we feed them. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to hunt. They don't need to have the competition in the hierarchical status the way a wolf does.
So is there any harm that happens when a person, you know, turns them too much into a human too much?
Well, the harm comes with in many factors, but I think one of the major ones is just in timing mechanisms. For example, if you come home and you find that your dog has chewed up your favorite pair of shoes, to now smack the dog over the head with your favorite pair of shoes isn't going to work so well because the dog would have no clue as to why that just occurred.
Uh-huh. What should you do?
I'd just safeguard your shoes next time or start training your dog around your shoes.
You're saying dogs are just predators. That's what they're going to do. Is that it?
Well, they're going to chew. They're bored, and they're going to chew for many reasons. Either they're anxious or they're bored or, wow, that shoe smells like you, and I think I'll just have a good snack here. A lot of reasons why they chew.
Now, what about the holidays? Do you host during the holidays yourself or?
Well, we're not this year. We'll be traveling for the holidays, but in the past, we certainly have.
Yeah. Oh, so what are you doing when you're traveling, actually? What do you do with your four dogs?
We take them with us, so we don't have to go very far this year. So
really?
If I had to fly, I probably wouldn't take all of our dogs with us. Flying with the dogs nowadays is very difficult.
So you'll show up at a relative's house with four dogs, huh?
Oh, absolutely. They know I'm coming, and you know my dogs are very well behaved. So our dogs are not the problem. They welcome our dogs when we go.
What do you do with it when all these new people around your animals, they're probably not used to that all the time. How do you deal with that?
Well, there's some behaviors that we have the humans do. For example, no rushing right up and petting the dogs. I have one dog that is more of a bodyguard for my family. And so he's more of a businessman. He sits back at a distance and just observes the guests. And so we definitely have boundaries about how they interact with that particular dog. But I think that over the holidays, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that even though this is family coming to visit you, you know these people, they're your family. If your dog hasn't seen them for 6 months or a year, they're not family to them. They're a stranger. Uh-huh. And they're going to treat them like that. And we just kind of have to keep that in mind and make sure that we kind of watch our dogs. And if they act fearful, maybe just put the dog up for a little while.
Talking to Brian Bailey, a nationally recognized award-winning animal behaviorist. So one of your books titled The Hammer, Understanding Canine Aggression. When a dog's growling at you and showing its teeth and you feel that fear go through you, what is there to understand at that point?
Well, first point is that book is not actually out yet. It'll be out this early summer.
Oh, okay.
It's the book that I'm currently working on right now.
Uh-huh.
But aggression is real. It's valid. It's real. It's a real problem in America. When you have over 5 million people a year being bitten, it is a problem. When a dog is growling at you, it is telling you that it's either perceiving you at that moment as a threat, and it cannot evoke its flight option, the ability to run, or it's viewing you as an opponent, meaning my toy, my food, and you need to back off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you need to heed that warning first, then step back and evaluate the situation after you've relaxed and you can stand outside that bubble of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And just really look at it from the viewpoint of your dog first and then your own viewpoint.
Have you had a problem with that in the past ever, a dog that's aggressive even towards you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to the emergency room 5 times.
Oh,
so,
wow. Really?
No, I have been, yes.
You've been bitten pretty badly, it sounds like.
I have.
And what caused that to happen?
Sometimes carelessness on my own part. I'm not perfect. Just like any of your listeners will not be perfect with their dogs.
Yeah, but wait, is this a dog that had been mistreated by a previous owner or something like that? Or?
No, two of them were very highly trained police canines, and it was just a mistake that occurred during the training process, training criminal apprehension. The other ones were dogs that were out of control, and when I go over to the owner's home, I'm caught by surprise. Sometimes the owners of the dog think that because I'm an expert, I can handle anything,
mm-hmm.
and I've entered into homes before, and the dog was running absolutely loose, and before I realized it, the dog was on me.
Attacks you. So what do you do if a dog is aggressive that way? Some people would think, look, if I can't control the dog, it's dangerous. I have to confront that. But what can you really change a dog's behavior?
You can, and there's just many angles that you have to approach it, sometimes from a behavioral modification standpoint, and sometimes you have to elicit, believe it or not, the help of medicine. We have several thousand dogs on antidepressants today to help raise their threshold of sensitivity to perceived threats.
It really does help, these antidepressant medications.
It does. It does. Yeah. It's a shame that we have to use them, but I'm just grateful that we can use them because it really does work. I've been doing that for all over 30 years.
The website, by the way, tamingthewild.com. You know, I haven't had a dog in a long, long time. I grew up with a dog, but it's been many years. What do you think about people that live without dogs in their life?
It's kind of hard for me to really relate to that because I've always had a dog in my life. Dogs aren't for everyone. Too many people live too busy of life. They're burning the candle from both ends. And you have to have time for a dog. You have to have quality time. It's not a quantity issue. It's all about quality.
Yeah, so basically if you're away from the house most of the day or just home in the evenings, is that something where you maybe should think twice about getting a dog?
I think that were the case, 90 million Americans wouldn't own a dog.
Right.
Think because we all work the 9 to 5 or 8 to 10 hours a day, counting commute. I think that's fine. I think it's the person that moonlights, that works all day, but then also has an evening job as well, or a student who is going to school all day, but then he has his studies and his homework to do.
We're able to get
quality time.
Just a minute or so left. What do you think about people that cage their dogs during the day when they're gone?
I don't have a problem with that. As long as the cage is dark, these are den-dwelling animals. A lot of dogs do very successful with that. Even my own personal dogs, until they're well over a year of age, I don't trust them to run around free in my home. They're too inquisitive, and they can get themselves into danger. You'd be amazed. I used to own a vet hospital for 12 years, and I remember one year we actually pulled an ornament out of a dog, an intact ornament. It's amazing what they will eat, what they will swallow, and they can just get themselves into trouble. So I put them in their den. They go to sleep like nature tells them to, conserve calories.
And then
when I come home, they get plenty of time out.
At it. But how do you deal with the dog passing away? How have you dealt with that emotionally when that happens?
That's tough. I just had that happen a couple of years ago with a dog of mine that was 14 years old. It's tough, but I always tell everyone, I don't know if that's the good side or the downside on the dog, that we outlive them.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got to move on. The best thing for me is that there's a place in my heart for that dog, and there always will be, but now I'm going to go get myself a new dog and just kind of keep adding them to my collection there. My heart's big enough to hold many dogs.
Well, I'm sure they love living with you, that's for sure. Brian Bailey, nationally recognized award-winning animal behaviorist. The website tamingthewild.com, also his book, Embracing the Wild in Your Dog. Brian, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.